Okay, let's get to the word. Exodus chapter 12. This is a lengthy scripture that we're going to read here. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 14. It says here, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb," the Bible says, "your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted in the fire. With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn." All right? Now, verse 11. "In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast." Who am I familiar with these verses, with this story called the Passover? Before I go there, you know, last Thursday, you know, Rian and I participated in a Metro Manila-wide shake drill. Okay, it was a shake drill, and it was actually the government, the authorities who actually initiated this. What they were trying to accomplish with this shake drill is very simple. From 10:30 in the morning last Thursday up until 11:30 for 1 hour, everything in Metro Manila basically, you know, were put on hold. Okay, everyone stopped because everyone would want to practice, okay, what it feels like or how you would respond in case a 7-point-something magnitude hits Metro Manila. All right, so meaning to say everyone was very cooperative. People would want to know how ready the city was in case a big earthquake would begin to strike the metro. All right, now, the reason why I'm sharing that is very simple. I want you to catch this. In the same way, if this is like a practice for a probable earthquake in the future, I want you to catch this. The Bible that you have in your hand, okay, the Bible that you have, okay, the Old Testament that you are reading, okay, all of those things basically are like a great rehearsal for the greater things that are going to happen, which was basically fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Colossians would begin to say that everything that was happening during that time were but a what? A shadow of the things that are to come. Are folks catching this? Just to illustrate this for a while, suppose I am a guy from the Old Testament. Suppose I'm a guy from the Old Testament. Imagine me right now with my camel and everything, with my beard and all of these things. If I'm a guy from the Old Testament, everything that is happening around me are real. Our folks, catch this. It has its own implication. My actions will have its consequences. Everything basically is real. But I want you to catch this. everything that's happening around me are basically just a shadow of the real substance in which things are going to happen. And all of those substances basically are found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we are looking at in this series. That's why we're calling it past perfect. We're like saying there are things that has happened in the past, and all of those things happened basically because Jesus would want to perfect it. And one of those things, or one of those foreshadowings that we're going to look at here this evening, is one of those foreshadowing that talks about Jesus as the Lamb of God. Jesus being the Lamb of God. Don't you love the fact that you can worship Jesus for who He is? You love coming here every Sunday, or maybe in your devotional time, you love worshiping Jesus Christ. I don't know with you, but I need you to think with me for a while. You know what? If you are someone who idolizes someone, for the lack of better term, you would begin to give titles to this guy that talks about the intensity or ferocity of this person. For example, remember you love sports, right? You love sports. If you know Michael Jordan, remember Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player who ever lived? If you're a fan of Michael Jordan, people would give him a good title. People would call him what? His Airness, right? People would begin to revere Kobe Bryant as the Black Mamba. If you're here, you love wrestling. You know, just read last night, you know, Roddy Piper already died. Okay, if you're one of those who grew up in the era of Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and all of these guys, you give them good names. But I want you to catch this. If you are here and you love Jesus, can't you imagine this with me for a while? Of all titles that he need to have, why would we call him the Lamb? I mean, is there anything intense? Is there anything passionate about the Lamb? Or about a Lamb? There's nothing quite remarkable about a Lamb except for the fact that they are what? They're cute and fluffy. But it holds a great significance as to why Jesus was called the Lamb of God. And we know for a fact that as a Lamb, He was sacrificed. I don't want to go ahead of myself. Let me just show you this scripture for a while. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says here, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. If you would look at this verse for a while, you laser into that verse. Basically, this verse is telling me, is telling all of us here tonight, that this man right here, okay, this man right here is our Passover lamb. That's what this verse is saying, right? For Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed. That's what the verse was saying. It gives us a picture that this man from Israel, 2,000 years ago, okay, this is our Passover lamb. Going back to the scripture, look at this one. It says here, for Christ, our Passover lamb. Can everybody say mine? Yung merong, yung medyo may intensity ng konti, mine. Like it's really yours. Now look at this one. If you would try to look at this verse for a while. When Paul was writing this, I need you to catch this. He didn't say for Christ, the Passover lamb. Hello? He said, for Christ, our Passover lamb. If you get to understand and grasp that, I tell you what, it's going to revolutionize your thinking about God's role in your life as a Savior. He said He's not just the Passover lamb, He is our Passover lamb. You know what? The term of endearment that I have with my wife is mine. People call her Rian. I call her mine. No one else calls her mine except me. Why? Because there's like ownership with each other. Are folks catching this? Let's say we are a group of people. Taga saan nga ba si Spider-Man? Anong city nga ba si Spider-Man? Let's say, you know, let's say we're all New Yorkers. You know, mga taong Bronx, right? Let's say we're all New Yorkers here and we live in a time wherein all of us have a superhero by the name of Spider-Man. Okay? Now, whenever we talk about Spider-Man, whenever Spider-Man would jump from one building to another, what do we call him? The superhero. The difference lies in the fact that all of us might call him the superhero, but for Jane right here, Spider-Man will be so comfortable in us unmasking himself, and Jane can always call him my superhero. You folks catch that? My point there is very, very simple. My point there is this one. The next time you read your Bible, come to understand this. God is not just the Redeemer. He is your Redeemer. God is not just the Savior. He is your Savior. God is not just the Provider. He is your Provider. There's a sense of ownership between God and us. And it's very clear in this verse right here. And I hope and pray that we will get to really grasp what we're trying to talk about here this evening. So what might be the implication, if you try to ask me for a while, what might be the implication if we have Jesus as our Passover lamb? I want you to understand two things here for a while before we get going. I want you to understand the words entitlement and exclusivity. Entitlement and exclusivity. Listen, friends, I want you to catch this. Everything that God has accomplished for you and me, if there's no R in that sense, then you are just looking at all of those things from a distance. Have you ever been into a certain shop where you don't have money, you just love doing window shopping? You folks catch that? Gutom na gutom ka na, pero wala kang pera. So all you could do is just watch it from a distance. It looks good. Sure looks good, but it's not yours. So entitlement here simply means, because he is our Passover lamb, it simply means to say, I need you to catch this, it simply means to say, everything that Jesus has accomplished, you have all the legal rights to claim all of those things. You are entitled to every spiritual blessing under heaven by virtue of what he has done on the cross. And the next thing that I want us to understand here is the word exclusivity. Meaning to say, as much as God would want it to be for everyone, there's just a select people who would want to get it for their own life. This is not random sampling. This is for you. This is exclusively for us. And that is what it entails. Looking at the word R, you know, right there. And I was thinking about this last night. If you would look at your Bible, you know, there are several instances wherein, you know, the angels would begin to say things about God. And there's not much, you know, reference that would tell angels that, you know, he's our God or something like that. It always talks about him being our God. But in our case, because we are the recipients of God's grace, there's always a possessive pronoun attached to us. And I don't know with you, I always appreciate it whenever I think about it. Then the next thing I want us to understand here is this one. Let me just try to clear this out for a while. First and foremost, I want you to imagine Jesus for a while. Okay, imagine Jesus for a while. That Jesus that you have in your mind right now is your Passover lamb. Catch that? That person is your Passover lamb. Now, here's the thing. The next thing that that verse is saying is that that Passover lamb of yours has been what? Look at this one. That Passover lamb has been sacrificed. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed. And folks, this is very, very important. I don't know with you, but this is very important because a Passover lamb is not a Passover lamb unless it is sacrificed. There's always the essence of it being sacrificed. Let me just try to explain this for a while. Look at this one. While Paul was writing this, okay? While he was writing this to the Corinthians, listen, if you try to play around with words, I figured out Paul didn't say this, for Christ our Passover lamb has been murdered. Are folks catching this? Hello, are you with me? That's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying that Jesus, our Passover lamb, was murdered. No, he was saying he was sacrificed. There's a huge difference between someone being murdered and one being sacrificed. Murder, in this sense, if you look at the meaning of murder, murder basically means it is the unlawful, premeditated killing of one human being by another. Now, in this regard, I want you to understand that his death on the cross was not unlawful. In fact, it satisfied all the legalities. It is lawful. So it wasn't a murder. That is why it is a sacrifice. A sacrifice in this sense simply means an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. One year, analysis say that Jesus is valued in the heavenly realms. He is valued in the heavenly realms. He is the firstborn of all creation. Now look at this one. Because of sacrifice, it's something like this. Seated on a throne on the heavenly realms, he clothed himself with what? With flesh and blood, came to the world and basically made a decision that his worth, he's giving his worth to us. We are now valued and he's now being sacrificed. And that is basically the difference between the two. And you know, I had a conversation with someone a while ago, and we were talking about, you know, of all the animals that could have represented Jesus Christ, why lamb? Have you ever thought about that? Bakit hindi aso? Bakit hindi toro? Bakit hindi kalabaw? Have you ever thought about that? If you would slaughter a lamb is an animal who's so meek that if you try to slaughter them, they will just allow themselves to be slaughtered. Meaning to say, you put a knife on their neck, that's it. You try to do that to a dog, tingnan natin, baka magkarabis ka. So meaning to say, this gives us a clear-cut picture, if you try to analyze this, as to why Jesus basically was likened to a lamb. Meaning to say, he went there voluntarily. He made his commitment. He's going to die for you and for me. I don't know with you, but if you're here and you've been invited by a friend, I do understand whenever we talk about the gospel, whenever we talk about the Passover lamb, I do understand that a lot of us are really well-versed with this one. But here's what I want you to understand. You can never come to a point in your life when you're going to tell God, Lord, I have already exhausted the gospel. There's always a facet about it that we're going to understand. And my prayer for all of us here this afternoon or this evening is very simple. That as we look at Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, we will all the more get into a place of worship and adoration for what he has done. You know, before Victory, I never had any Christian background. Okay, don't have any Christian background. So when I first heard the word Passover, it was something very new to me. I don't know for you. Maybe for some of you, you've been hearing about this since you were a kid. When I became a Christian back in college, it's the first time I've ever heard of the word Passover. So when I heard the word Passover, you know, different things were coming to my mind. I'm thinking about flyover. I'm thinking about different kinds of things. Now for us to understand, there's always a principle at which we can apply in God's word. If there are things in God's word that you are not familiar with, sometimes we need to apply the principle of first mention. Meaning to say, we go back to the Old Testament and see where in the Bible it was first mentioned. And the word Passover was first mentioned in the book of Exodus. Here, look at this one, Exodus chapter 12. It says here, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now look at this one. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Let me just try to give us a brief context for a while. Look at this one. 3,500 years ago. When we were born 3,500 years ago. Wala naman po siguro, no? 3,500 years ago, this nation right here, Egypt, 3,500 years ago, this nation right here, you folks know this, right? Enslaved a group of people called the what? The Israelites. Okay? They have enslaved the Israelites not just for 10, 15 years, but for a very long 430 years. Can you imagine that? 430 years. And, you know, for Philippines, we have been under the nation of Spain for, you know, 333 years, 3 months, and 6 days, 2 hours. Alam niyo yun? Hindi niyo alam yun, ano? Ah. Hanapin niyo sa history book yan. Wala sa history book yan. Now, imagine this for a while. I want us to use our imagination. Let's say you're this guy right here. Mas pogi itong isa, ito. Let's say you're this guy right here. Now imagine with me for a while, you are a Jewish person. All right? You are an Israel. Listen, you are a descendant of the Abraham. You folks catch that? And then there's this group of people who just enslave you for 400 years, friends. Something was really brewing in their heart, and they were like crying out to God, Lord, save us from Egypt. And basically, God heard their cries. God basically heard their cries, and God sent them a what? A superhero by the name of Moses. Basically, God heard their cries. Now look at this one. When Moses heard the call from God, his mission was very simple. To what? To free the nation of Israel from the rulership of Egypt. You folks catch that? So meaning to say, what he did was that he went to the Pharaoh. You went to the Pharaoh. You know, you guys know the story, right? He went to the Pharaoh, and Moses and the Pharaoh, he had a confrontation with the Pharaoh. It was like telling the Pharaoh, hey, God sent me here, and God is telling you to free my people. Let my people go. And you know what happened? Pharaoh's heart was basically hardened. But before I go there, let me just say something for a while. The issue of God with Egypt is very simple. It is the issue of the firstborn. That is what Mav was sharing a while ago. You know, firstborn are very important to God. I don't know about you, but have you ever thought about this for a while? Why in the world would God choose the nation of Israel? The answer there is very simple. They are a chosen nation. And they are the firstborn. So meaning to say, God cannot take it. He was sitting on his throne. He needed to stand up and deal with the Pharaoh and the entire Egyptian people. Why? Because they are enslaving his very firstborn. Now that's being set up now. They were having a confrontation. You know what happened? God sent what? God sent different plagues into the nation of Egypt. But it is more terrible as you thought it was. It was a terrible sight all over Egypt. 9 different plagues. For example, first one was that, you know, when they were bathing, when Pharaoh was bathing, remember that? The water was turned into wine. Remember? No, water was turned into blood. That's the first miracle of Jesus. Water was turned into blood. Imagine, just put yourself in their situation for a while. Let's say you're swimming at Banica. You're just enjoying your time at Banica. You know, there's just so many, you know, things, you know, swimming with you. You know, Pampers, whatever. Imagine you're just enjoying the cool of the day. You were just swimming. And suddenly, the water was turning into blood. And you can smell that it is blood. Hindi mo pwede sabihin, ah, kwan lang yan. Food coloring lang yan. Ano sa damukal na food coloring? So, you know, after there were different plagues, you know, we don't have the time to talk about this in details. But if you would carefully study this, you would come to understand that what God was doing here, if you remember the verse that we've read a while ago, he was like saying, I'm going to execute judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. He was basically saying, all of these things basically are representative of God's way of humiliating the gods of Egypt. For example, one of the gods of Egypt, when God sent darkness as the 9th plague, one of the gods of Egypt is the sun god. For some reason, the sun god cannot execute his power. Why? Because he stands in contrast with the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. He was like, God was basically telling Pharaoh, you know, collectively, whatever power your gods may have, they don't, you know, stand in comparison to the single power that I have at the tip of my hand. That is what basically, you know, what God was trying to display here. And to a certain degree, the Pharaoh was actually repentant for a brief time. And that's not actually a mark of true repentance. So he was like saying, I'm gonna let my people go. But after that, he would harden his heart once again. And finally, you know what happened? The last plague was the death of the firstborn. And when the firstborn of Egypt were dead, Pharaoh basically let the Israelite go, the Jewish people go. And how did that happen? We could actually see that in the text that we've read a while ago. We're gonna go there in a while. So my point here is very simple, friends. That the next time you look at Jesus Christ on the cross, I want you to understand is that man right there at the cross is your Passover lamb. And it spells a great deal of implication if you get to really grasp and understand what he has done for your life, what he has done for us. Very quickly, what are those things that basically foreshadows the sacrificial offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. First one is this one. Whenever you talk about a lamb, it's always a lamb without blemish. The Passover lamb is a lamb without blemish. It's a lamb without blemish. Look at this one. Verse 3 and 5, it says here, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house. A lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be what? Your lamb shall be without blemish. All right? Meaning to say, if a lamb is going to represent you, it has to be without blemish. To some degree, it has to be perfect. If you were following a while ago, they are asked to bring it on the 10th day, but the lamb is not sacrificed until the 14th day. That gives them 4 full days to inspect the lamb. They would check every part of the lamb. No, this is good teeth, everything. And when this is the right lamb, then they're going to sacrifice it. How did Jesus Christ perfect that? Don't you realize, friends, that when Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, came into Jerusalem on a Sunday, he wasn't dead. He wasn't crucified, not until the Friday. That gave him 4 straight and full days to be scrutinized by the different people around him. And then he came forth with all integrity and character. And that makes him a lamb without blemish, perfect to be sacrificed for you and me. A man without sin. A man who was tempted in every way but is without sin. And that makes him qualified to be sacrificed by God, to be sacrificed for us. What are the significance of the Passover to the people in the past, and how did Jesus perfect that? Few things. I want to discuss this briefly. First one is this one. The Passover ushered a new era. The Passover ushered a new era. Allow me to explain this for a while. Look at this one. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Look at this one. He said, Moses, Aaron, listen to me for a while. He said, this month shall be for you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. What God was basically saying is that this Passover, Moses and Aaron, this is where everything will be hinged. This is the start of a new beginning. You'll have to throw off your old calendars because this is the new calendar. I am ushering you into a new way. He was like saying, ilang years nga ulit? 430 years. From this day on forward, I'm going to break the monotony in your life. He ushered the entire nation into a new era from a position of slavery. In fact, when they moved out of Egypt, they were the richest people on earth. That was the past. I want you to catch this. In what sense did Jesus perfect this? In what sense did Jesus' death ushered a new era for you and me? Are folks ready for this one? Look at this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, it is a concluding statement. If anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's very simple, friends. If you're here this evening and you're living a life of no purpose, you don't know what you're going to do with your life, the moment you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible is saying, if anyone is in Christ, you are a brand new creation. Meaning to say, you are not a modified creation, because a modified creation is a modified sinner. God is more than willing to transform you, not just to modify you. The old has gone. Who cares about the past? Who cares about 30 years of life living in sin? The moment Jesus said, I am taking you, then you are basically having an eternal life with him. If you remember, one of the great things that I really love about Jesus Christ is very simple. Look at this one. When he was on the cross, remember that? When he was on the cross, this sinner right here was talking to him. And this guy was talking to him. You know what Jesus said? Today, hindi niya tinuro kasi nakapa ako, di ba? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Folks, listen. I don't know with you, but if you ask me right now, I don't know where you are in your life at this very point. But one thing is for sure, God is offering you the free gift of salvation. The moment you receive it, you are a brand new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He would usher you into a new life. There's going to be an indescribable joy that you will have in you. The joy of your salvation. The second thing is this one. The Passover sacrifice was specific. Let me just be brief with this one. In verse 3, it says here, tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses. A lamb for a household. What does it mean? It simply means to say that if you're one of those family who would participate in this one, you are basically identifying yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, there's a decision that you'll have to make. The sacrifice will be for you. It will work for you if you participate in it. In what sense did Jesus perfect this? Look at this one. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him, that is your participation. All of these things will work for you. It's going to be specific for you. It's going to be so particular for you if you are one of those whoever. That whosoever believes, it doesn't talk about that you have to be like this, you have to be in this stature. No, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. One of the significance of the Passover. The third thing that I want us to understand regarding the Passover is very, very important. Look at this one. The Passover was an intersection, was a junction of judgment and salvation. Listen, if you mix oil and water, they don't mix up. Right? Oil and water don't mix up. If you look at judgment and salvation to some degree, sometimes they don't mix up. They only mix up at one occasion. It was in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus basically perfected it. Friends, listen, there's no other place in this world where judgment and salvation intersected apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple. Can you go to the picture of the blood on the post for a while? That's basically the simple instruction of God. Put the blood on the doorpost, I'm going to pass over you. Simple. In what sense was there judgment that time? It's like this. When the spirit of death came, there's no blood post, then there's judgment. You folks catch that? If it gets to another doorpost, there is a blood. He would pass over that place, then there is what? There is salvation. If you imagine with me for a while, if you're one of those guys who would go around Egypt walking that day, after that very night, guess what? You would either see just two things. Either of the two things. It's either a dead lamb or a dead son. It's either a dead lamb or a dead son. For those who sacrifice a lamb, their very firstborn son were saved. There's something crucial that I want us to understand here, friends. Look at this one. I don't know with you, but every time you look at the picture of the cross, want me to appreciate what Christ has done for you? Come on. I mean, you're telling God, Lord, man, you've done this for me. But I was a new Christian. Whenever I would stand from a certain place and I would look at what Christ has done for me, whenever I look at the cross, man, I just tell God, Lord, I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for your mercy, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, you are just so good. But here's what I want us to catch, friends. Too often, we only look at the love of God. But I want you to understand something, friends. Whenever you look at the cross, judgment or justice has been served here so that love could be commended. There's two facets of it. The judgment and the love. Friends, we are the recipients of love. He is the recipient of judgment. He was sacrificed for you and me. Here's my thing for all of you right now. If you are here tonight and you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, why wouldn't you give your life to a God whose only motive is to love you? Why would I continue with a life of sin if this is how much Christ has done for me? A slight sin would ask me to tell God, Lord, amen. I'm sorry, Lord, that I have done this again. Are you folks catching this? The Passover was the junction wherein the judgment and the salvation basically intersected. My prayer is that we will be a people who would respond right with what He has done on the cross. The last thing I want us to understand here is this one. The Passover will be remembered. God made sure that people will not forget about the Passover. In fact, He said, Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." What was God saying? Because you have been saved, I want you to rejoice about this every single year. You know why God needed to say that? Because we are a people who are so forgetful. We keep forgetting. In what sense did Jesus perfect this? If you know this picture right here, this is basically what Christ done. Before His death, huddled up, His good friends took a bread and they said, "Peter, this is my body, which is given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember my sacrifice." Took the cup and they said, "Yes, this is a wine, but this is now my blood, the blood of the new covenant." Meaning to say, after my death, there will be no more death of lambs. I am the ultimate lamb. If Jesus didn't sacrifice Himself, we're going to be so messy around here. And He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." If you remember, every single time they would always offer a lamb. They would always kill a lamb. You folks remember that in your Bible. They would keep doing that until such a time, if you remember this in John chapter 1 verse 29, when John the Baptist was discipling from his peripheral, he saw Jesus Christ walking. What did he say? "Behold, that is the Lamb of God who is to take away the sins of the world." Now, we're not just talking about the Lamb of Israel. We're talking about the Lamb of God who is to take away not just the sins of Israel, but the sins of the whole world. We always forget. We remember God when we are in trouble. Hello? But I think God is wise enough to understand that if there's one thing that we don't forget, it's that we don't forget about eating. So the next time we come together for a meal, He was like saying, the next time we come together, the next time we get the rice, the next time we get the bread, remember my body. My body which was beaten down to make you whole. Next time you drink of that cup, remember my blood. You have been covered by my precious blood. You know what's the implication of that for all of us here this afternoon? If you are here and you are a Christian, think about your past. Think about your past sins. Think about your present sins. Even your future sins. Guess what, friends? Listen, the implication of that for all of us is very simple. God looks at you right now and you are covered with His very blood. Meaning to say, you are righteous in the sight of God. I am a righteous person by virtue of what the Lamb of God has done on the cross. That is precisely the reason why I'm going to worship Him for the rest of my life. That is precisely the reason why I'm going to serve Him for the rest of my life. And I'm going to love Him with everything that I have. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. It says here, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Archie, ba't kailangan ng dugo? Why is there a need of blood? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Guess what? You don't have to shed a blood. Mga men, di ba takot tayo sa syringe? No need for that. Blood is basically necessary. It happened with Adam and Eve. Tried to cover themselves with leaves. God took the leaves, slaughtered an animal, covered them. Blood was shed to cover them. Cain offered vegetables, something like that. God didn't accept it. Cain was so angry because Abel did the right thing. He offered blood, basically. At the end of the day, friends, at the end of the day, it's all about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I pray, allow me to end this with a discussion that I had just this morning, before the morning service. I was talking with Pastor JD about this. We were talking about the blood on the doorpost. We're like saying, what if, let's make some scenarios for a while. What if there was an Israelite, a people among Moses, who didn't put the blood of the lamb on his doorpost? What if he was like saying, hey bro, sabi nila Moses and Aaron, maglagay ron ng doorpost, ng blood sa doorpost mo. Chismis lang yan. Uniwala ka dun sa matanda ngayon. What if there's a certain family that didn't put a blood on their doorpost? What might happen to them? Hello? What might happen to their firstborn? Is there going to be death in that household? What do you think? Jewish, Israelite, is there going to be death? There is going to be death. There is going to be death. You know why? Because the father cannot reason with God and tell God, Lord, I am Jewish. Why did this happen? At the end of the day, it's not about their nationality. It's all about the blood of the Lamb. If blood wasn't there, then there's nothing else that could save you. In the same breath, let me just make a challenge for a while. Coming to victory will not save you. Or to make it more forward, victory will not save you. The message is here, might provoke you to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, we can preach whatever we want to preach here, but at the end of the day, the decision is yours. You will have to appropriate and sprinkle the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at the doorpost of your heart if you want to be saved. If we want to be saved, then the decision at the end of the day is on us. We'll have to sprinkle the blood of the Lamb by faith at the doorpost of our heart. Amen.